Our scripture reading today in the lectionary from the Old Testament comes from Genesis chapter 9. We are in the part after the flood of Noah, and immediately what happens then? Listen for the word of the Lord. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. "And the Spirit immediately drove him," Jesus, "out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him." Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was a couple years ago I was doing my grocery shopping, and I came outside afterwards, and out in the parking lot, there were all these people that were standing looking just like this, and they were just immobilized. And I thought, the alien invasion has begun. But I looked, and when I looked up, it was the most beautiful double rainbow. Just stunning, right over Russ's. It was beautiful. That image of the rainbow, a symbol that God gives to God's people. God gives to God's people to remember the covenant that God has made with them. I want to talk about a covenant today and what that means. And I want to continue this series that I've been on in terms of looking at the systems of our lives and the way that we get caught in systems that are become a destructive cycle. You can see that in the story of Noah, right in the beginning of the Bible, how the people of that time had gotten into these destructive habits of being that were hateful and unfaithful and murderous. And God brings the flood and wipes them all away, all except Noah and his family, wipes them all away because the earth needed a new beginning. God will not be mocked. It is God's creation. And it's a story where if systems become destructive, God has the option to start over, and that is precisely what happens. But we pick up on the story after the receding of the waters of the flood. Noah and his family are on dry ground, and God says, "I will not do that again. Never again the cosmic flood." He goes on to say, "I will make a covenant with you, Noah, and with your descendants, and with all the animals." We don't use the word covenant very much, and when we do, we don't tend to mean what the Bible means by it, so let's unpack that a little bit. A covenant goes beyond a contract. In a contract, there's two parties to the contract. They each make an agreement. If one of them fails in the agreement, then the whole contract falls apart. But with God's covenant, even if one party fails, the covenant is still in place. And the people fail again and again and again, but God never fails. and God stays loyal to the covenant. Why? Because covenant comes from a deeper place than just our pocketbooks. A covenant comes from the heart. It becomes clear in the gospel. God is love. Notice Jesus in the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. He's among the wild animals, but even the wild animals seem to be at peace with him. The covenant still holds. I want to consider a dimension of systems that we are in, and that is the cycles that we perpetuate, the vicious cycles that seem to go on and on and on. Most of us at some place in our lives end up being caught in some sort of vicious cycle. An addiction, an alienation that just doesn't stop, an old hurt about which we keep on nurturing a resentment and an anger, a guilt that haunts us, a habit that we cannot break, a quarrel out of which we will not extract ourselves, or a policy we will not change. You know the kind of things I'm talking about. Those vicious cycles that seem to go on and on. A family where a harsh word was spoken 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, and it still divides them. Or an office where people come home from work psychologically battered and bruised, and even if you change people, it seems to be that the spirit is still there. That spirit of destruction. Even nations can get trapped in vicious cycles, irreversible ways of thinking about things, doing things that will not change. We all know about those kind of cycles, those vicious cycles that we can get in. And we yearn. We yearn for a way out. We ache for a way out. But either we cannot find a way out, or we will not consider the pain that the change would require to extract ourselves from that cycle. So here we are in Lent. And Lent for Christians is a time of honesty. When we examine ourselves and we examine the world, we get honest with ourselves and with each other, and we get honest with God. We recognize how we have approached the world, that we keep on thinking that we are in charge and we will never change. So the cycle is just going to go on and on and on until we recognize that God is the one, the only one, who can set us free. You see it in Psalm 51, one of the great confessional hymns. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your spirit from me. Restore me. Hold me. Deliver me. Deliver me. That's the language from the slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. Set my people free. Set me free. Deliver me. Psalm 51 is a recognition and an admission that we are slaves to these systems, to these habits that just keep going round and round again, the systems in which we are enmeshed, habits that we keep on repeating. There's a desperate need for action, but a recognition we cannot do it, or we will not do it. This is very different language than the culture around us, isn't it? The culture around us talks about being able to do it for ourselves, being self-sufficient, being on our own. But if we can do it all by ourselves, then why did 17 students die in Florida this week? And why has that gone on again and again and again? It's been 19 years since Columbine, and still we're stuck in that same system. It's a vicious cycle of fear, a vicious cycle that we cannot break out of by ourselves. We are people of faith, and we believe that the God who has claimed us in covenant love makes it possible to break out of the vicious cycles and work something new. That's what's going on with Jesus. He's out in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness for 40 days, and he's tempted by evil itself, and yet he always keeps his eyes on God. He never wavers. Tempted by fear itself, and in all vulnerability, he discovers what it is to be in the presence of God and alive to God. It is freeing. It is true life, and it works. So he comes out of the wilderness and announces the good news. The time is now. God's kingdom is here. Change your hearts. Change your lives. Trust in the good news. God is right here, bringing us newness now. And God has brought it to us, but in order to receive it, we have to submit to God's newness. So we have to empty ourselves of our ego, our past, our hatreds. We have to empty ourselves of our fear that has come to define us. Let it go. Let it all go. And open yourself to God. Open yourself to God's newness. Walter Brueggemann, who has written profoundly, and I'm following him a lot in this sermon, says to open ourselves to God's newness, we have to yield that this is the price of our freedom. This is the price of a new beginning. Because as long as we hold back and keep on doing things as we always have done them, there cannot be any newness, and things will not change. We will not experience the forgiveness and the being freed, unless we place our lives in the hands of the God of covenant love. The good news of Jesus Christ, it's not a statement of easy forgiveness, an automatic cheap grace, not at all. The good news is that God loves us so much that God enters into the world and takes on the pain, the hurt, the resentment, the hatred. And what does it cost God to do this? Well, that's the story of Jesus on the cross. It costs God everything. Our transformation comes at the highest cost, and the message of Jesus on the cross is this, that God suffers for our new beginnings. But God is not like a bulldozer. God is not wielding power like some executive order. God's power is vulnerable love, to enter into the pain. It's like the pain that a parent suffers when they suffer on behalf of a child. The parent suffers that the child may be restored and may grow to hope and joy. There's this intimate engagement between God and us, that kind of love that comes to our brokenness in order that we might experience a newness. The suffering love of God breaks the power of the vicious cycle, and all of a sudden, we step into a new world. It takes us from fate to freedom. The good news of God's covenant love is that God has always been faithful. God has always been focused on us to experience our pain and brokenness in order that we might have a new beginning. And the question is, have we seen it? Have we taken it in? Have we looked to see what is there? Create in me a clean heart, O God, says the psalmist, and put a new spirit within me. Yes, a new spirit is offered to us. But we cannot act as though we don't need to be transformed in response. We cannot act as if our wrongness does not exist. God takes the sin into God's very self and we're set free, but it's the cross that symbolizes what God is doing, taking our pain, but giving us a chance for a new beginning. And when we see that, we're free. We're set free to forgive, to heal, to step out of the guilt that had defined us, to step out of the habits that we had perpetuated again and again, to step out of old ways of thinking and organizing our world, to step out of the fear, because we've recognized the kingdom of God is here. It's arrived in Christ Jesus. It's here, and it's for us. And we can live in that right now. God says, I will make a new covenant with them, a new covenant in their heart. A new covenant in their heart so that they can feel that love everywhere, all the time. A heart free from fear. It's the mystery of God's love, God's sacrificial love. It's a love that never stops. And if we see it even for a moment, it's truly dazzling. The newness that breaks us out of those vicious cycles and sets us free. The responsibility we have is to truly see it and say, how then do I now live? Otherwise, it's cheap grace if we're not really changed. And the Crossley grace, the real grace, means that we take responsibility to live in that new world at a cost that we discover that we are able to pay because it's been paid for us. We're set free to love as God has loved us, to live with the mind of Christ so that we see the world as Christ sees. It's a new beginning. Paul says it's a new creation. And what it means is we get a new chance at life. Covenant love. It's not advice on how to live as if it can all be reduced to something easy and simple. Covenant love is not advice on how to live. It is the assurance that we cannot do it for ourselves, but it has already been given to us. So let me be clear. This is not me urging you to break some destructive cycle in your life. This is not me urging you to break some destructive cycle in your life, because that cycle is already broken for you. It's already broken. The kingdom is here. It's given to you. The guilt, it's gone. The old ways of thinking, they're gone. The resentments, they're gone. The hatred, gone. The fear, it's gone. Do you see it? Take it in, the beauty, the wonder of it. It's like a new beginning, a second innocence, a childlike innocence. It's this gift that we have been given to live in, to feel the freedom, to feel the new life, to feel the joy, to give thanks to God. Because the kingdom has come to you, to all of us, in Jesus Christ. Amen.